You're listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Grace Life Church in Lake Asbury, Florida. You can find more information about Grace Life by going to thegracelifechurch.org or join us for worship every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at Lake Asbury Elementary School.
Hey, go ahead and turn in your Bible to John chapter 10. My name is Matt McNaughton. I am the lead pastor of Grace Life Church. Thanks for tuning in and watching our online service today. We are a church committed to making disciples, and we are passionate about teaching the Word of God. So follow along with us today as we study John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Back in 2005, in Istanbul, Turkey, there were some shepherds having breakfast one morning when, to their horror and astonishment, they turn and watch hundreds of their sheep jump off of a cliff. There's nothing they can do until the final sheep plunges off. What happened was one of the sheep decided he was going to just run and jump off the cliff, and with no shepherd watching them, the rest of the sheep thought it was a good idea too. All in all, 400 sheep died that day. But the first 400 sheep that jumped off the cliff created this giant fluffy sheep pillow for the rest of the sheep that follow, which ended up saving 1,100 sheep. The damage caused by the loss of the sheep cost the shepherds $100,000, and their livelihoods were at stake because of the loss. Now, for us as Americans, the idea of shepherding is far gone from us. Not many people in our country are shepherds, and we're moved away from even people in our own family that have been shepherds as a full-time career. But shepherding is still prominent in the Middle East, in parts and many other parts of the world, and it's very prominent in the Bible. Both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see the idea of shepherding as important to the role of redemption seen throughout the Bible. Both Moses and David were shepherds. We see at the birth of Jesus, the angels came down to shepherds. Throughout the Old Testament, the sacrificial lamb was pointing to Jesus, and at the very beginning of the book of John, John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So in the Old and New Testaments, we see the idea of shepherd and sheep used over and over and over again. For us, we don't know much about shepherding, and that's okay. There's no reason to be sheepish about it. We can be honest and know that maybe we need to have some understanding of what shepherding and the idea of sheep has for us as we read John 10 today. And if we're being truly honest, we probably have a lot of sheep puns, and we probably know more of those than we do about shepherding. And trust me, every pun referring to sheep and shepherding is bad. We'll move on because you have heard enough of the sheep puns. For the next couple of weeks, we're going to be studying John chapter 10 and 11 and 12. And we start this study by seeing Jesus use the figurative language of shepherd and sheep to help us understand who he is and why he came to this earth. Jesus showing us that he is the good shepherd reveals to us a God who cares and watches over us and knows us intimately. It's a passage of scripture that should cause us to cherish and long for and find comfort and protection and peace in Jesus Christ. So let's read John 10 this morning. We're going to read verses 1 through 18. We're going to look at just a portion of that today, and over the next 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to look at these verses and really just dive in and study God's Word together. So let's read John 10, verses 1 through 18. It says, Jesus is speaking in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again says to them, in hopes that they will understand what he is saying, truly, truly, listen up, pay attention. I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. May God bless the reading of his word this morning. And let's pray together. Father, we come to you this morning thankful for your word, and thankful that we have a shepherd who watches and cares for us. And as we just study out this passage of scripture, may our hearts find comfort and peace and rest in Jesus. Holy Spirit, pray that you will convict us of our sin and draw us to the Son of God. I pray that our hearts will be attentive, that you will pause the distractions in our homes this morning, and that you will just comfort us as we hear your word. And God, I pray that soon you will bring us back together. I pray that soon we can be in the same room worshiping as a church family. We're thankful that we can worship you through technology. And I pray that as your word is preached through the camera, that those who hear it today will see how powerful and wonderful and caring and loving and gracious you are. We love you, Lord, and we are thankful for all that you've done for us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. So in John chapter 10, we see the third and fourth I am statements made by Jesus. These I am statements are statements that Jesus uses to show his deity. He is, in fact, equating himself to God. The Jewish people would hear I am and instantly think of God the Father. It's the same words that God used to tell Moses back in Exodus 3, when Moses says, who will they know sent me? And God told Moses, tell them I am who I am sent you. So Jesus saying I am is a big deal to his listeners. The first I am statement was, I am the bread of life. Then a little later, and we've studied this couple of months back, I am the light of the world. Today we see that Jesus says, I am the door and I am the good shepherd. In chapter 11, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He's using these I am statements to show that he is God who had come down to dwell among men. So he's going to get their attention when he says, I am the door. And we're going to look at Jesus' statement when he says, I am the door. So Jesus is going to speak to these listeners in a figure of speech that helps them understand what he is saying. Back in chapter 9, the Pharisees were appalled that Jesus is going to heal a man who had been born blind on the Sabbath day. They said that he broke the law, but in fact, Jesus did not break the law. He was performing an act of charity, which is allowed. And I would say healing a blind man is a pretty charitable act, but the Pharisees are just appalled at that Jesus did not obey their man-made rule. So now, in that same context, Jesus is going to call them out and then refer to himself as the I Am twice. So if the Pharisees think healing a man born blind on the Sabbath is blasphemous, they're going to go nuclear here when they hear Jesus say that he is God. So when Jesus reads, let's look at verse 7. Jesus said again to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So after spending a couple of moments just sharing what's going on, they don't get it. So Jesus then steps in and really brings some clarifying language for them. He says, I am the door. Twice he says it. All who come before me are thieves and robbers. And he's going to be referring to the Pharisees in this moment. And in my mind, as Jesus is talking to the crowd, when he says, I am the door, everyone who came before me is a thief and a robber. In my mind, I see him looking them in the eye, calling out their lack of understanding of who God is. And really, they are the ones who had been sinning against God, not Jesus. So Jesus uses this shepherd sheep illustration to drive home his point that the God of the Israelites, the creator God of the universe, is a God who cares deeply and passionately about his sheep. And Jesus says, I am the door. Now, the main job of a shepherd, okay, is to protect, care for, and bring the sheep into food and to water. If you want to just a quick, brief glimpse of what a shepherd does, just read Psalm 23. We're actually going to look at it over the next week or two. But this shepherd, they would spend all day with their sheep. They would lead them to water. They would lead them to food. And it's not like you just sit on the edge of the sheepfold and say, hey, go get some food. No, the shepherds would literally have to drag the sheep to the point of eating and drinking. And sometimes they are so stubborn, they had to just put their heads down to the grass and say, eat. Here's some water, drink it. The shepherds cared for these sheep. They would go and protect them. If wolves or another animal or people tried to steal them or to kill them, the shepherd would step in and defend them. We are familiar with the shepherd's rod, all right? Or kids, it looks like a candy cane. They would use that rod to beat the tar out of anybody that tried to endanger the sheep, or they would use that hook to bring the sheep back in. Their main job was to care and protect and to provide safety for the sheep. So that's why the sheepfold is so important. At night, the shepherd could not leave the sheep just out in the wild. They had to bring them into safety. So they would go and create these giant places called sheepfolds that were walled around oftentimes with stone walls. And at the top of them were thick thorny bushes. They didn't have barbed wire back then, but it's kind of the same concept. And it would prevent animals from jumping in or prevent people from climbing in. And Jesus even refers to that if the shepherd enters the sheepfold, but people climb in over for a purpose of harming the sheep. But they would have these gates, these doors that the shepherd and the sheep were only allowed in. And they would have a guard at the front, someone watching in by a gatekeeper guarding the door that would only let the shepherds in. And it's a small gate. And it's hard to get into because there's someone guarding it. The only way into the sheepfold was through the gate or through the door that only the shepherd was allowed into. You're not a sheep. You're not the shepherd. You're not allowed in. It was heavily guarded for the protection of the sheep. So that's the idea, the picture that Jesus is using when he says, "I am the door." What Jesus is telling his listeners and what he's telling us today is the only way into the sheepfold is through me. The only way into the family of God is through me. You can't get in another way. You can't climb in. You can't jump in. You can't fly in. The only way through is through Jesus, through the shepherd. And what Jesus is reminding us and telling us, that the only way to God is through the Son. And we know on this side of the New Testament that Jesus would die and rise again, providing access to the holy God because the righteousness and perfection of Jesus Christ was placed on us, allowing us to walk into the family of God without fear of repercussions. Only because we walked in through the door, through Jesus Christ. So here is what Jesus means when he says, "I am the door." He means that Jesus is the only way into the family of God. There is no other way. No other way. There's no other door into the family of God. There's not a back door you can sneak into later on in life. You can only go through Jesus Christ to get into the family of God. If Jesus is the door of the sheepfold, then we are to understand his statement in today's passage as meaning that he is the only way to safety from God's enemies. To find safety in the Lord's arms, we must come to our Creator in the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus will tell us, "I am the door. Everyone who came before me, they are thieves and robbers, and my sheep did not listen to them." He's referring to the Pharisees and the religious leaders who created such a religious system that they missed the idea of grace. They thought, if I could just keep everything perfectly, I will be good. And Jesus says, "No, you're robbing people. You're a thief. You're killing people." Religion is a thief and a robber. It makes us think that we are the Savior. Makes us think that our good actions, maybe even in the name of Jesus, are good. But Jesus says, "No, religion doesn't save you. Only I can. Only Jesus can save you." That's why Jesus says in Matthew that there will be people that stand before God, and God will deny them access into the sheepfold or into the family of God. And they're going to say, "Hey, but God, I did this in your name. I taught in your name. I prophesied. I healed people in your name. I did all these things in your name." And God's going to say, "But you didn't believe in Jesus. You relied on your religious works, and it killed you. And God, in probably the most heartbreaking parts of Scripture, are going to turn to these people and say, "Depart from me. I don't know you. You're not one of my sheep. You're not one of my sheep." The only way into the family of God is through the door, Jesus Christ. And religion is a false door that doesn't provide entry. It's like, have you ever seen a kid running in the backyard and you got a screen door open, a glass sliding glass door, and the door is open but there's a screen there? Or the glass is so clean, right, which is really impossible when you have little kids around the house, and they're running and they're ready to go inside and they think that door is open, then smack, right? It's really awful to watch, but parents, we know there's some humor in it. They didn't know it was coming. They thought they had free entry right into the house, but it was a false door. It wasn't open to them. And religion does the same, and so does our good works, and so does every other religion. It says this is how you get in, but it's not the way in if it's not through Jesus Christ. Most other religions says, hey, if you do this, you can get in. If you do this, you can have access to God. If you do this, you can have eternal life. And Jesus says, hey, there's nothing you can do. Only your sin you bring to the table. I will do the work for you. I will come and get you, and I will bring you through the door and into the family of God. I will do the work, which means I will die for you, and I will conquer death for you, and I will conquer sin for you, and then I will walk you into the presence of God because you're one of God's sheep, and it's only through me that you can have access to God's family. Jesus is the only way into the family of God. And secondly, Jesus will save you. Jesus will save you. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. If anyone. It's truly remarkable that any of us are a part of God's family. That anyone there, that's me. If you're a believer in Christ, that's you. If Matt enters into the family of God by the work of Jesus Christ, then he will be saved and find and be able to go in and out and find pasture. Jesus says, if anyone goes through him, they will be saved. He doesn't say anyone except this group of people, or just this group of people, or you gotta meet the requirements here. No, it's anyone can be saved. And the only way is through Jesus. And to be saved means that you are in danger. Man, we're in danger of facing the penalty for our sin that we were born in. And we know that Jesus bore our sin and died on the cross for us, giving the victory over sin and death when he rose again for everyone. And those who believe in the name of Jesus Christ will be saved. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Here's how this applies to us both as believers in two ways. One, it's a reminder that Jesus came for me and you. That he loved us so much that he came and died for me and you. Secondly, it's a reminder that the people that are close to us are part of this group too. If anyone, meaning our neighbors, our family members, our children, our coworkers, our friends, the random people that tick us off, they're people that Jesus came and offered salvation to. And it's in God's design to use us to spread the hope of the gospel to all people. Not just a few, but to all people. Jesus will save you. What an encouraging truth, knowing that there's not a person out there that Jesus can't save. If there was, that would be me. My sin is great, but God's grace is greater. And He will save you as well. It says, if you believe in me, you will have eternal life. If you believe in me, you will be a part of God's family. And then, not only is Jesus the only way into the family of God, and then when we see this, Jesus will save you, but it gets better. Jesus won't let you go. But later on in this chapter, Jesus says in verse 25 through 30, after the people listening are disputing all of this, Jesus says, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Jesus won't let you go. I'm not an expert fisherman by any means. In fact, I haven't been fishing in a long time, a couple years maybe now, which is, I enjoy it and maybe hopefully soon. But when I was little, my grandpa got me this little fishing rod. It was a Kermit the Frog fishing rod. He took me out on his pontoon boat and we went fishing. And I threw this rod and I threw the line into the water and sat there. And all of a sudden something got a hold of the baits and I hooked this giant fish. It was at least this big. In fact, it was probably further than the width of my arms, right? So in reality, it was probably this big, but it's a fish story. And I remember just struggling and catching, holding onto this, trying to get this fish in, and right at the last second, I don't know why all this always happens, when you could finally see the fish coming out of to the surface of the water, the line snaps and the fish is free. It got away. And it happens to every fisherman at least once or twice or 10 times in their lifetime. And sometimes it happens multiple times on a fishing trip. But that reminder, that illustration, reminds us that there's nothing that can break hold of God's grip on us. There's nothing strong enough that can break that line, nothing that can snatch us away. In fact, when Jesus says snatch, there's this aggressive power move after trying to take out what's in God's hand. So imagine someone just attacking God's hands aggressively, trying to snatch away his prized possession, a created after his own heart. We see in Ephesians, and they're trying to snatch it away, and nothing is able to do it because God is greater than all. Meaning, once you are a part of God's family and you truly believe in Jesus Christ, nothing can take you out of the family. Nothing can snatch you away. Nothing can break that line. There's nothing in this universe that's greater than God. Nothing. I was reading in Joshua the other day, and at the end, Joshua encourages the people to cling to God. To cling to God. And I think of a little kid that grabs a hold of your leg, and you're just kind of walking and trying, and they're just holding on for dear life. And so often, we're trying to move, and they're just dragging them. And it's the same idea for us that we cling to God in the moments of uncertainty and fear and anxiety and craziness and everything going on. It's like we cling to God, and the reason we cling to God is because we trust in His promises that He is holding on to us, and nothing can take us out of His grip. Nothing. Nothing. In fact, Romans 8:38, we looked at this last week. Paul says, "For I am sure of this. I am confident in this. I will bet everything on this, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation." Nothing. Find something. It's nothing in this creation, in this world, in this universe, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Not even death. Not even death. Because once we are in God's family, we are in for eternity. And we're only in because Jesus is the door, and it's through His death and resurrection that we are given the freedom of being a part of the family of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Which means, Christian, those times that you sin in direct disobedience to God's commands, as heinous as every sin is, if you have believed in the name of Jesus Christ and the righteousness of Christ is on you, not even your sin can take you out of God's family. Now, doesn't give us a license to sin and do whatever we want to. In fact, if we're doing whatever we want to, that's going to be evidence that you're not really a part of God's family. Instead, if we're a part of God's family, why in the world we won't go live with the family we had before? That killed us, destroyed us, and robbed us, just like Jesus said. God welcomes us in and says, "You are mine. I'm not letting you go." Finally, Jesus is not only the way into the family of God, not only will He save you, not only will He not let you go, but Jesus will lead you. In verses 9 and 10, it says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and..." It's not just salvation, say, "Hey, we are good. You're in the family of God. You're good to go." No, no, no. It's "Hey, you're a part of the family of God, and that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Now you are free to come in and out and find pasture." And to be out of the sheepfold is to be with the shepherd here. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." We looked at that last week when we looked at Psalm 16:11. When David says, "God, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." The abundant life is being in the family of God, being shepherded by Jesus. Being led to green pastures, being led to still waters, being protected from the enemy, being protected from hell, being protected from anything else that is unable to snatch us out of the Father's hands. All because Jesus the shepherd is leading us. When we walk through the door of salvation through Christ alone, then we will see the wonder of the shepherd. One pastor said, "Who alone can save? God." That's what Jesus is claiming. Do you want salvation and blessing? Then come to me. Some of you have heard that before. And some of you have probably heard that 1,000 times. And you've rejected it. And maybe it doesn't even jar your sensibilities anymore. But the abundant life is only found in Jesus Christ. And it's through Jesus is the only way that we can have salvation and be a part of the family of God. When Julie and I lived in Missouri, it was cold. I mean, we're both Floridians, so the 3.5 years that we spent up there during those winters, it was really cold. I mean, bitter cold. And one Wednesday night, as the church we attended had Wednesday night services, I was at work and I was in our truck, and Julie was in the car that we had at the time. It was a 99 Taurus. And as she was driving, there was problems we would have with the door. It would get so cold you couldn't open the door. It's locked. There's no way in. And then if you got it open and you were driving, it wouldn't close. So Julie, this one time, is driving to church on a Wednesday, holding this door open. Now that door is there to protect you from falling out of the vehicle. And that's a good thing. And the only way in is if you can get that door open. But on a frozen winter night, it's almost impossible sometimes to get into the door. I want you to know that the only way into the family of God and to have eternal life is through Jesus Christ. And no matter what you try to do to jar that door open, any false doors, or try to climb over, you won't be able to get in unless you believe in the name of Jesus. And once you are in, Jesus is not a faulty door. You're not holding on to him to make sure everything's okay or to make sure you have the security. It's not in your power. No, Jesus is firmly closed, protecting you, the sheep, from the outside elements of sin and death and hell. So find your eternal rest in Jesus. Because in the sheepfold, after a long day of grazing and just enjoying life, probably having no idea that the shepherd fended off enemy after enemy, the sheep would just wander in and lay down and rest. Because they knew that their shepherd would lead them through the right door. That door led to safety and rest. And then what a joy it is to wake up and get to do it all over again, knowing that Jesus is protecting and guarding us every step of the way. And as we'll see next week, he is the good shepherd. He is the one who makes us lie down in green pastures and restores our souls. Not just for a day or a week or a month, but forever. That is a door worth entering. That is the grandest of all prizes behind the door of Jesus. So will you see that Jesus is your only way to eternal life? And Christian, never forget that Jesus opened that door for you. And now that you're in the family of God, nothing can take you out. Let's take a few minutes and respond to God's word today.